This program is made possible by the members of the Church Street Baptist Church in Greensboro, North Carolina.
The book of Romans, chapter number 8, and verse number 14 and 15. Romans 8, verse number 14, and verse number 15. Verse 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Father, this morning I am privileged to be able to call you my Abba Father. And I pray this morning that through the power of the Spirit of God and the preaching of the Word and the moving hand of Almighty God that you would draw a sinner to know you as Father and would comfort a saint to know that you are still their Father. And I'll give you glory and honor, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This morning we have read in our scripture where the Apostle Paul, he said, we cry, Abba, Father. Father's Day is a sweet time for some. You had a good daddy, a daddy that loved you and loved God. And I mean, you look back, if he's in heaven, and you look back and remember with some joy, sadness today, and joy of what was. But for more and more people in our culture, it's a sour day. It's a day when your daddy's in heaven and you didn't have a good relationship with him. Some of you, your father was not saved, and you have the torment of thinking about where he is today in hell, and you just wish things had been different. You wish you could have done something or said something or been just a little bit better. You feel like if I had done this, then we would have been able to finish that. Or maybe if I had said this different, then maybe it would have changed this. Let me put some of your minds at ease. If you had been a 10,000 times better child, your daddy would have still been exactly the way that he was. Hear me, you can't change anybody. It is not possible. You cannot make an adult do something that they do not want to do. I know we live with those regrets and we think over and over, but hear me, I cannot make you do anything. You're an adult. I have a hard enough time making my 8-year-old brush his teeth every night and wear clean drawers to bed. I know I'm not going to make an adult do anything. You and I both know it's not possible to change somebody. Stop putting that burden on your shoulders that if you had been, then this would be. That's a game of the devil, and it does not happen the way that he says it does. But I want you to notice something. When we read that word Father in the Bible, for a student of the Bible, that word conjures up things throughout the course of the Scriptures. God is known as the first person of the Trinity, and we call Him God the Father. His name, Father, it follows all throughout the Bible. It starts in the Old Testament. We find that He was a father to the nation of Israel. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse number 9, at the end of that verse, the Bible says, "For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn." So through the whole Old Testament, we find that God is known as a father to the children of Israel. But then when we fast forward into the first books of the New Testament, we find that He's not just a father to the nation of Israel, but He is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It says in John chapter number 1, verse number 18, "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, hath declared Him." Then as we fast forward, we find that Jesus begins to do something that had never been done before. They knew him as a father, but in Jewish understanding, you've got to realize something. In Jewish understanding, a father was somebody to be feared and revered. It was not someone that you had a personal relationship with, because a lot of times in Jewish culture, there would be one father and there would be several different wives. You remember Jacob had four wives, and so there would be many children, and not one child would have a personal relationship. That's why the brothers of Joseph hated him so much, because the scripture says he was the beloved of the father. He had a relationship with daddy that none of the other ones were able to have. But you come into the New Testament and Jesus begins to transform the entire dynamic when he starts saying this in John 16, verse number 10. He says, of righteousness, because I go to my Father. And he starts putting some personality on this thing and some ownership. And that's what made the Jews so mad, is that he was claiming to have something. A lowly carpenter, a nothing Nazarene, a poor servant of a woman who they looked at as the town hooker, and she just got pregnant with Joseph's boy and she didn't want to tell anybody. And now his claim to fame was he claimed to be the son of God. And now he's walking around. This unlearned fisherman, carpenter, is now claiming to have something they don't have. He's my father. But it moves one step further than just saying my father. After Calvary, we find that the Apostle Paul makes this statement in verse number 15. He says, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, you may have heard it said before what that means. That word Abba, it's the two letters, the A and the B, and then the B and the A. That's the first two letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Aleph, Bet. How many of you remember what your baby's first words were? Okay, some of you were drunk, high, or just don't care. How many of you remember what your first baby's words were? Okay, I remember what mine was. My little Mason and my little Ella. Both of them are full of the Holy Ghost. And so their first words were, Dad, Dad. All that is where people put the words, two letters together, and all they know to do. I don't know what my kids' first words were. I think it was Dad, Dad, or do-do, or dum-dum. I don't have any idea. But it was close enough for me, so I'll take it. When a Jewish baby was born, the first words that they would learn would be, Abba, Abba, Abba. But now Paul comes in, and he is referring to God Almighty as Dad, Dad. He calls him Abba, Father. And that takes the dynamic from where he's the God of a nation, the God of a Messiah, the God of this Son of God. But now he's mine and your Dad, Dad. Now, when you and I say the word Dad, Dad, we don't say that disrespectfully to God. There is a personality. There is an ownership. There's only two people in this entire world that better walk up to me with a serious look and go, Dad, Dad. Because I only have two offspring that have that right. But what Paul said is that we have been given a relationship with God whereby you and I can now go into the presence of God and we can cry, Dad, Dad. What in the world is Paul talking about? George Herbert said this, one father is better than 1,000 schoolmasters. A dad in a life can do more than 1,000 principals could ever do. But no matter what your earthly situation is, whether you had a daddy that was a good man, whether you had a daddy that was a hateful man, whether you had a daddy that was good for nothing, whether you had a daddy that was useless, no matter if your daddy was the cream of the crop, you do realize that your earthly father has very little to do with what you become if you keep your eyes on your heavenly father. Because the people of God this morning, we have a father which is in heaven. And he's not just a far off God, but he is our Abba. He is our dada. He's our papa. He is that one that we can call on in the midnight hour. And Paul says to the saint of God, I want you to love your Abba. I want you to love your dada. I want you to love your God. I want you to love your father. I want you to draw nigh to that God that has pulled you out of the muck and mire of sin. And he calls to the sinners in Rome as he does to the sinners on the side of Church Street. He says, you don't have to have a daddy that's a devil. You don't have to have the father of hell and the father of lies. You can bow your head down to the Lord Jesus Christ and be given a relationship with God Almighty, the great Abba of heaven, and be able to say, Daddy, I need your help. Here's what I want to answer this morning. Four questions by the grace of God that I'll give you on Abba, Father. Four questions that I want to answer. Number one, I want to answer the question, what does Abba, Father mean? What does Abba, Father mean? Well, you and I, we understand the word Father. That word father, it is a very reverential word. It's a word that we say to the man that we believe to be our offspring or to be our progenitor, our father, the dad in our life. And we do that to be reverential. May I remind you that we yield respect to those that are above us in life, our elders and those that are older, and we call them Father, because we want to give them respect. Because you say they don't deserve respect. Listen, what they did to you has no bearing on how you treat them. If you treat them like a hog in slop because they treated you like a hog in slop, how do you ever expect them to learn that there's another way besides being a hog in the slop bucket? You can give respect, although you've never been given respect. You say, how can you do that? Pastor a Baptist church and you'll figure it out. Brothers and sisters, we respect people not because of who they are, but because our God and Father in heaven has told us. But when he said, Abba, Father, he was saying, when you pray and when you talk to God, have the respect, then bow down before him as the one who has given you life. But that wouldn't strike a chord with us, because he's called Father throughout the Bible. It's when Paul says, Abba, Abba, Father. I don't know about you, but it would strike me awful odd if I saw an adult going around saying, Dada, Dada. If Jacob went right back to his daddy and looked at him and went, Dada, we'd probably laugh him out of the building. We just would. But by saying that word, Dada, it automatically draws our mind to the fact of he's acting like a child, a baby. But when a baby looks at his Dada, you know what he's thinking? I'm with him. He doesn't understand a whole lot more. He doesn't understand that his daddy's paying the electric bill. All he knows is the lights turn on. He doesn't know that his daddy is buying the formula. All he knows is that when he screams and cries, there's a bottle popped in his mouth. He doesn't understand that he gets to the doctor because his daddy makes a car payment and because he makes insurance payments. All he knows is that when he tugs on his ear, somebody takes him to a place that he can get help. All that baby knows is I have a dad that takes care of me. And when Paul says that we cry to our Abba Father, do you not remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said? He said, do not ask for your provisions. He said, don't ask for the things that you've got to have. He says, does not your Father in heaven already know those things? I want to ask a question right quick. How many of you this morning, you worried about where you were going to get breakfast? Not many of us, if there's any of us in this building. Do you know why? Because we went to our cupboard and there was cornflakes in there and Frosted Flakes, or there was Cheerios, or there was Rice Krispie Puffs, or there was this, or whatever it is, Pop-Tarts or Nutri-Grain bars. And if some of you old timers are older than 65, your old wife got up this morning and fixed you something hot, something that came off the stove, while the rest of us were slopping down something that was made in a factory somewhere on the backside of Tijuana. Say amen right there. What I'm trying to tell you, though, is not many of us this morning worried about where we were going to get our breakfast from. Do you know why? Because there was a good God that filled your pantry up. It was a God that stocked your cupboards. It was a God that gave you the provisions. Do you know why? Just like that baby, he doesn't worry where his bottle's coming from. He just knows when he says, Dada, something is going in his mouth. Either a pacifier or a bottle. Ladies and gentlemen, that is what it means. That is the personability that God desires His children. Can I ask you a question? How many of you, don't raise your hand, but you feel like when you pray, you must march into the throne room of God with such a reverence because there is this far-off God that wants you to say the these right and the thous right and the ups right and the downs right, or that you've made your dad, your father mad? Brothers and sisters, it's not like that. Your God is nearer than your very own dada. And that's the desire that God has. So here's my second question. Who can cry, Abba Father? Who has that privilege? Because there's a big movement right now, and you find it among a lot of the dead churches, liberal churches and things like that, and they say, aren't we all just the children of God? Answer, nope. Nope. You say, who then can call? Listen, I'm telling you right now, if somebody walks out that door and looks at me and says, Dada, I'm going to kiss you right in the mouth in Jesus' name right here where we're at. And if you're a lady, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go get my nasty 9-year-old and I'm going to tell him to do it. Because he ain't brushed his teeth since God knows when. And the last bath he had, honey, was when Moby Dick was a minnow. Say amen right there. Do you know why? Because nobody has that privilege except who? My children. Why don't you have that privilege? Because you don't belong to me. And there are people in this building right now, and you don't belong to God. You're cut off from God. Your sins have separated you from God. You're cut off from the promise of God, cut off from the hope of God. It's not because you're a bad person, and it's not because you're not a good enough person. You're a sinner, and sinners are cut off from God, and sinners are separated from God. Only those people that are the children of God, only those people that have been born into the family of God can call and cry, Abba! There are people here so hard, and you're hard because you think the heavenly Father is like your earthly father. He'll hit you. If he doesn't like what he's doing, he beats you. You think he's erratic, like he's drunk. He comes in at night and he's drunk as he could be. That's why God's always up and down. Some of you view God as an absentee father. He's never around. He only calls when he needs something. He only wants you when he wants some money. That's how we look at God, isn't it? Isn't it amazing how much our earthly father influences our view of the heavenly Father? Here's the third question then. How can we cry, Abba, Father? Preacher, didn't you just tell me that I'm cut off from God, that I'm alienated from God, that I have no part in God, I don't belong to the family of God, His blood's not flowing in my veins, His life is not flowing in my DNA. How then can I call upon this God? Look at what Brother Paul said in verse number 15. He says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption." You see, something has happened in my life and in the people of God's life that took them from being outside of the family of God to being placed in the family of God. You say, what happened? Did you get a blood transfusion? Not exactly. I got picked by a man. I got placed by God. I got selected as an old child in an adoption agency did. You know how the Roman adoption agency would work? Here's what happened. Number one, the parent had the choice as to which child that he wanted. And here's what would happen. He would go in and he'd see an old broken down, run down child. He'd see a broken down, run down child. And in the Roman culture, that daddy would look at them and say, they're not strong. They won't be able to do any work. They won't be able to help. They won't be able to do anything. And that's how a lot of you feel this morning. I have no help. I have nothing I can offer God. But remember what I said. God's not like most fathers that are in this world. Whereas most fathers would go in and they'd look for the strongest, they'd look for the cleanest. You know what our Father did when He walked into the adoption agency of hell and saw your name? He saw how broke down you were. He saw how run down you were. He saw how without life you were. He saw you had nothing to give. He saw you had nothing to offer. And He looked at the devil and He said, I want that one right there. And when you found that God wanted you, you know what you did? You ran from God and you went the other way. That's why the Holy Ghost has got to keep calling your number. That's why the Holy Ghost has got to keep calling your name. I doubt very seriously there are many of us in this building that surrendered to God the very first time He called. But do you know what God the Father did in the adoption agency of hell? When I went running that way, honey, He left where He was and He came running after me. Aren't you glad God didn't give up on you when you threw in the towel on Him and He came a-seeking after you and He came calling your number? So number one, they chose who they wanted. Number two, the adoption was permanent. Whenever the deal was sealed, whenever the judge slammed the gavel and said, you now belong to Him and He now belongs to you, there was not a Roman law that could undo it. It was not a Roman judge that could undo it. The old father couldn't undo it and that father couldn't undo it. I'm telling you right now, the day I got adopted into the family of God and placed out of my old family and put in His family, the day I got out of the devil's house and got put in God's house, honey, I got written down with an eternal ink, sealed in an everlasting book, placed in an everlasting covenant, and given an everlasting name. And the devil's been trying to get me out, and the demon's been trying to get me out, and the Baptist tried to get me out. I've even tried to get myself out a time or two. Every time, though, I run away from God, He comes back and He keeps on looking for me. Number three, not only was it selected by the man or the father, number two, it was permanent. Number three, that child was given a new identity. If the child was A, he was given the identity of the daddy. If he was a poor child, you see, there was the caste system in Roman culture. If he was a poor child, if his daddy was rich, he was given the rich status. If he was a nothing, he was given the status of his father. If he was unrighteous in the eyes of the law, he was given the status and the bill. Good God in heaven, he was given the record of his daddy because he was a minor and all his crimes were washed away. All of his old ways were done away with, and he was given the record of his father. I had a record that was 10,000 miles long. Every sin I'd ever committed, every wrong I'd ever done, every place I'd ever been, it was written down and it was sealed. But that day when I got put in Christ, I was given Christ's record. All my sins were washed away. All my wrongs were done away with. All my yesterdays were gone. All my yesterdays were completely gone. You say, what happened to my sin? Honey, they got tossed in the deepest part where the east meets the west. They got tossed down in the deepest, darkest part of the farthest ocean, never to be swum out by NASA, never to be swum out by the what's that submarine, that Challenger Deep. It won't be found by NASA. It won't be found by Challenger Deep. It won't be found by my mother-in-law. Say amen right there, honey. Ain't nobody on this earth, in heaven above or in hell beneath, that'll ever find what I was yesterday. I was given the record of my elder brother. I got the record of Jesus, and he took my record. You say, what kind of record does Jesus have? Forgiven, clean, righteous, holy, good, forever settled. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm holy, I'm saved, I'm sealed, I'm washed, I'm righteous, I'm in Christ, and Christ is in me. But number four, here, watch this. When somebody was adopted, number one, they were chosen by the Father. Number two, they were permanently in the family. Number three, they were given a new identity. Number four, they received the same inheritance as a blood-bought child. If there was an older brother, an older sister in that Roman family that was a part of the bloodline, they got an inheritance. But if this child was adopted and didn't have that blood in him, the day he got signed into that family and adopted, the law said they become a joint heir. You know what that means? Now what the father has is split two ways. Brothers and sisters, the Bible says that Christ is all and he's in all. That means that everything God has, he revealed it through Christ. All the love he had, he revealed it through Christ. All the strength he had, he revealed it through Christ. All the love he had, he revealed it through Christ. All the grace he had, he revealed it through Christ. All the goodness he had, he revealed it through Christ. And all the riches of heaven were given to Christ. All the angels of heaven were given to Christ. All the glories of heaven were given to Christ. All the love that the Father had was given to Christ. But the day I got saved, brothers and sisters, do you know what happened? That day I got saved, all the goodness of Christ, it became half mine. It's not the glory that I get, it's the benefit of the glory. You say, what in the world does that mean? Well, here's one thing it means. Here's one thing that's so wonderful about it. You know how often God answered Christ's prayer? Every time he prayed. Do you know how often God walked with Christ? Every mile of his journey. Do you know how much God loved Christ? With every fiber of his eternal being. Do you know what that means? You know how often God will answer our prayers when prayed according to the will of God? Every single time. Do you know how much he loves us? With all the love that his eternal being has. Do you know how many miles of the journey he'll walk with us? Every single mile of the journey. Now, can I show you right one thing right quick? Because I'm not going to get to question number four, so let me give it to you right quick. Number one, you know what it says? That word Abba. You know what Abba means? Father. Dad. Father. You know what the word father means? Father, good. So you got Father, Father. Do you remember what the Lord Jesus Christ always called God? He always called him my Father. But one time he changed the way he addressed God. On the cross of Calvary, he cried, my God, my God. Why hast thou forsaken me? Do you know why God changed, or Jesus changed the way he addressed the Father in that moment? Because at that moment, he changed places with us. And whereas we were alienated from God, he became alienated from God. And where he used to be in fellowship with God, guess what that eternally makes us? In fellowship with God. So the reason we can cry, Abba, Father, is because Christ cried, why have you forsaken me? Why, God, have you forsaken me? Can I ask you a question? Why is it so special to be able to cry, Abba, Father? If you're in Romans 8, just flip down a few verses to verse 32. I want just one verse, verse 32, then I want to give you a story. Romans 8, verse 32. What's so special about being able to say, Abba, Father? Here's what's so special. Watch what it says in verse 32 of Romans 8. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Here's what that verse means. Leave that right there, Heather, if you don't mind. Here's what that verse means. If God willingly gave his son for you, will he not give you everything else? What's more precious to you, Reggie, Holly, than your children? If I came to you right now and said, the only way I can live is if you sacrifice one of your children, if in some crazy way you said, I will, and you sacrificed a child so that I could live, and I came over to you and said, can I borrow a pound of sugar? There's no way in the world you would say, nope. You know what you'd say? Why are you even asking? If I gave you my son, what's a pound of sugar? And that's why we so easily can trust in the Lord and pray knowing he'll answer. Because if he gave his own son, will he not freely give us all things? There was a story that I read about a man whose name was Ben Hooper. There was a couple eating in a restaurant. This man happened to be a Bible college professor, and he was eating with his wife. And this man was shaking hands with everybody. And he came over and he stood by the man. This is what he said. He said, how are you? He said, my name's Ben Hooper. He sat down and he said, what do you do for a living? The man said, I'm a Bible college professor. I teach preaching to preachers. And Ben Hooper sat down and he said, I've got a story for you. That man sat there and he thought, man, not another preacher's story. And as he sat there, Ben Hooper began to tell him a story. He said, you know, I was born not knowing who my father was. He said, my mother never married. And so I grew up as the kind of the orphan of the town. And he said, it caused me a lot of trouble. People made fun of me. People laughed at me. They called me names. They told me I was this and told me I was that. Told my mama she was this and told me my mother was that. And he said, every day at lunch, I would go and I would sit by myself so nobody would talk to me. And he said, mama could just barely make a little. She'd cut one piece of bread four ways for my brothers and sisters. And we'd have just a little triangle of bread for lunch. He said, my childhood was terrible. He said, now I learned how to stay out of the way. He said, I learned how to stay quiet so nobody paid attention to me. He said, finally, at about 12 years old, I started going to church. And he said, I'd slip in late and I'd leave out early. He said, one Sunday I slipped in and I realized there's a new pastor. He said, I didn't really want to make a scene. He said, when I stood up to leave early while they were praying, he said, I looked up. And that pastor was waiting on me when I was getting out of the pew. I'm going to do that one day. I'm going to do that one day. You're going to look up and there I'm going to be. And that pastor shook his hand, introduced himself, and he said, "You look like somebody." Ben Hoop just kept his head down. He said, "You look like a child of God." He said, "Therefore, you've been given an inheritance. Go after it." Ben Hooper is telling that couple, he said, "That day forever changed my life." Only people that would recognize the name Ben Hooper is if you're from Tennessee. Because at the turn of the century, he was the governor of the state of Tennessee. He was the one that led some of the repairing after the Civil War, led Tennessee into becoming a dry state during the Prohibition era. His name was Ben Hooper, and he said, "When somebody told me that my resemblance was after my Father which is in heaven and not my Father which is on the earth," he said, "that's what made. You're not the daughter of a deadbeat, and you're not the son of a drunk. You are not the product of an illicit relationship, and you are not the daughter of someone that didn't love you. You are the desired child of the Most High God, purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ, given life in Christ Almighty. Your inheritance is heaven, and God is your Father. If I was not saved this morning, I would run to Christ." And to the people of God, remember today that you have the privilege to cry, "Abba. Dada." You're able to say, "Daddy, will you just hold me?" That's the relationship you have with God.